Let's give honor. Come on, every single person stand. Every person stand. We're going to give honor where honor is due. Can we thank and welcome to the platform this final night of youth camp, Pastor Harry Slade. Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Harry Slade, everyone.
Tonight. This pulpit, this ain't no ordinary pulpit. This came from Mississippi, Alabama. We're going all the way old school. And in churches in America, they don't just preach the gospel. No, they have a musical ensemble that travels with them. And you have a violin here. How far can you move with your violin? Are you anchored to that spot, or can you come out here a little bit more? Can you? How far can you go? Untape that. We loose you in the name of Jesus. Come here. Come here. Now. Now, here's what I need you to know. Here's what I need you to know. I can't play violin, but I'm about to try. No, I'm not going to. I can't afford it if I break it. But we're going to dig some wells in the West, but we're going to have a violin solo play that melody. Because why not? So nothing else, just the violin. No pressure. I think it's like a 6-4-3. I think it's a 6-4-3. I actually don't know. I'm just kidding. Okay, ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah. Turn it up. Turn it up. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you're on the violin. Stop it. Wells in the West. From the front to the back, we're digging wells in the West. Tonight's a night that's going to mark you forever. He doesn't respond to striving. He doesn't respond to straining. He responds to those who are hungry. He responds to those who desire a greater touch. So from the front to the back, everybody get back in. Here we go. Oh, digging wells in the West.
One, two, three, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West. Wells in the West, we're digging wells in the West.
Somebody better praise him like Jesus is alive. Somebody better praise him like Jesus is alive! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's Greek for hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cheer for me, no, for the Lord. Well, if I wasn't sweaty before, there's a river running down my spine. It's not living water, it's pure death water. But who knows, tonight by the power of the living God, we're going to step into a deeper river. Who knows, by the power of the risen King, we're about to swim in the glory of God. You better go and find a seat. Go and find a seat. Get out your notebooks and your Bible. No, you can't have a high five. I don't know where your hands have been. Go sit down. That's ridiculous. Feel like we're having a youth camp. Hey, as you're going back to your seats, could we just honor and thank Pastor Nikki one more time for an incredible word this afternoon? Genuinely, Pastor Nikki, you are one of a kind. Genuinely, they're not honoring you, but I will. Don't worry about them. They don't care. They're trying to find their seat. They're trying to figure out how they literally dig wells in the West. Genuinely, Pastor Nikki, I just want to honor you. Thank you for being a friend to my wife. Thank you for being a friend of ours, Pastor Paul as well. Thank you for buying me eggs on toast for lunch today. I really appreciate that. And that's why I don't want you to buy their book, because they're well off already. They bought me eggs on toast. I'm struggling. And so feel free to buy mine. But I genuinely love you guys, and I'm excited to come and holiday in Byron Bay and get some essential oils and from your own supply. I appreciate that in advance. One more time, if you love Pastor Nikki, can you honor Pastor Nikki? Well, if you have your Bible, keyboardist, continue to twinkle the ivories, brother. It's very gospel. We're going to turn to Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 3, French for 2. It's not quite almost. Un, deux, trois. That was French for 3, but the French always do too much, so you say trois for 2 and you just take one off. Oh man, I am excited for this. I've been ready for this since about 6 o'clock tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Spanish for I'm about to win the game. 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were digging wells in the West. No, that's a lie. They were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like that of a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like tongues or flames, I'll get it in the right order, shall I? Then what looks like flames or tongues of fire appeared and set on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages.
Tongues is not in the Bible.
It's right there. just going to take a leaf out of Nikki's book today. I was reading a chapter today. There's some stuff she didn't tell you, but it's in the book. Let me tell you. Men, if you don't have a J-O-B, why do you want a W-I-F-E? It's in there. It's right in there, chapter 72. Paraphrase, toi. Woman. Here's another excerpt. I just will flick through the pages. There it is. Woman of God, hear me now. I am Nikki Dent. It's in the book. It's in the book. Why doth thou post scripture in your bio? But doth lost all clothing in thine feed. You better find some clothes. Don't you dare follow me and expect me to follow you back. I'm 32 with a wife and two kids. I don't need to see your belly button. Put that bad boy away. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. If I see it, I'll vomit. And that's the end of chapter 3 of Nikki's book. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Tongues. As the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Tonight, we're going to step beyond the veil. Some of us for the first time are going to experience a genuine vision. Some of us for the first time are going to preach. That's me. I'm doing that tonight. It's incredible. No, just kidding. I've done it once before. That was yesterday. And it's going all right so far. Pastor Ken's not here. I feel at home because he's also not at my home. So that's good. I'm still a bit confused by the violinist. I don't know why I did that, but I just... And the jig's thrown my back out. I don't know what I did. It wasn't just my laces that came undone. It was also my belt buckle. I'll tighten it up. Just relax, all right? I'm not like half your youth ministry posting half-naked photos on their Instagram feed, huh? Some of us are going to encounter God like never before. Can I just tell you, bro, I do not subscribe to this Jesus intensity of like, if I burst blood vessels, he'll give me his blood. I don't subscribe to that. I subscribe to come, drink. So tonight, I believe that God wants to meet you here.
Just like in the upper room.
That's a song. Let's pray. Let's pray. And I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Well, why are you laughing? Stop it. Pray. No, just kidding. Have fun and stuff. Lord, here we are. Father, you know my strategy was to offend as many people as I could to get them to come to the altar at the end. And for the 47 people that I offended, I pray, Lord, you would be with them. And that, God, you would remind them that I was saying the true things of clothing and jobs. And Father, I pray tonight for a bountiful supply of both of those things. Lord, would you clothe us in your glory? And also, Lord, we ask for work to do, for we know that following you is not about sitting at your feet 24/7, otherwise we'd be monks. And we'd be clothed in slightly burnt orange robes and we'd shave our hairs, but we're not doing that tonight. Instead, God, we're here to meet with you so that we can go and make a difference in the West. God, I pray tonight, would you raise up a generation that would truly go unto the nations? I thank you that what you've done this weekend and what you're about to do is going to seal off a massive ripple effect of a reverse revival. God, that we would be the ones who go. We would be the ones who do not slow. We would be the ones who know. That we would be the ones who also rhyming words that sound like that also. Father, I pray, God, tonight, help us have lots of fun. But more than that, God, help us meet you face to face. We love you, Jesus. Come on, if you love Jesus, could you give him 3.5 seconds of praise right now? Amen, amen, amen. So far, so good. I think if I had another job, I've been thinking about this a lot because, you know, sometimes I preach and say things and I think I'm going to get cancelled. It's a possibility. And if that was ever to happen to me, Gareth, Pastor Gareth, sorry. Amino Domine. I think I would be a really good WWE superstar. Like, I've already got the body. No, not of one of the muscly ones of the Big Show. Like, I've got, like, the medium-sized show. I'm so grateful for rich friends. Anybody grateful for rich friends? Oh, come on now, somebody. I'm grateful for the pool that's not my own. I'm grateful for the Disney Plus subscription that I'm not paying for. I'm grateful for a dessert that never runs dry. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now. I had a rich friend growing up. His name was Ben. Ben was rich. The reason I knew that was because he would eat curries for breakfast. And he was not of the curry type. He was of mine. It's not racist. It's true. Like, it's just, Like, you got to understand, I'm Scottish. So I do porridge, which is oats boiled. And if I'm lucky, it's boiled with milk. Otherwise, it's water. Basically, it's glue. But my rich friends... No, they're not eating Fruit Loops, although that's the next step up of the rich category. That's how you know you're middle class, if you've got Fruit Loops. Nutri-Grain, if you know you're really starting to break that firmament on the flat earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really, it's close. But when you're rolling out with steaks for breakfast, like, your boy's got money, and he's a drug dealer. Now, I don't know this for sure. I don't know this for certain. But there were things I saw at the breakfast table that I'm... He also had a WWE subscription. He was able to watch WWE. Nowadays, it's on Netflix. You can watch as much WWE as you want. But back in the days, no, you had to pay for Friday Night SmackDown. You had to pray for Monday Night Raw, you know? Don't, Lord, I pray Triple H doesn't tear his quadrilateral again, you know? And so we were watching WrestleMania. And we watched WrestleMania, and it was time to go home. I lived a couple of blocks away, and I was walking home after WrestleMania. I would have been about 13, 14 years old with an active imagination. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking about myself as a WWE superstar. Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through. Bum, bum. Pyrotechnics. Sparks. Dun, 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 dun. Close my eyes as I'm walking down the street, listening to the crowd. Harry, Harry, Harry. It's now what my counselor calls a pride issue. Harry, 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 Harry. And I'm walking. And I'm just feeling the vibes. What you talking about? You don't even know who I am. When that wind blows... When that rain falls, it's a hurricane. You know, like, so I'm walking. I'm so locked in, bro. Like, I'm ready to smash this dude for the glory of hurricanes. Bro, I'm walking. I'm so locked in. One step, two step, straight into a lamppost. Now, you got to understand... You got to understand about lampposts. In Australia, they're not dangerous. Everything else here wants to kill you. I had my first huntsman spider the day I was flying out. I burnt my house down. I'm not down for that. The only thing in Australia that doesn't want to kill you is lampposts. The only thing in New Zealand apparently that wants to kill you is lampposts. The reason why is because the edges are super sharp. It's like a concrete rectangle, and it's like someone called Phyllis in the local council. It's her job to walk up and down the streets and sharpen them for murder. I'm walking down the, I didn't know how much of my guts came out of my forehead. So much brains out of my, I didn't know I had that much brains in the first place. It explains why now I'm not good at this job. I can't think straight. No, so much blood came out of my forehead, it was all over my uniform. My mum said she could hear me from four blocks away. Ah! I'm dying! Death! Death couldn't hold him, but it can hold me! Hurricane down! Hurricane down! I'm walking home, man. I'm screaming. Your boy had butterfly stitches. Yeah, I'm tough like that. So we get a bit of glue and a plaster. Yeah, come on now, somebody, no needles involved. That's the kind of depth we're talking about. My clothes were covered in blood. The streets were paved in blood. I tried to hold that face, I couldn't do it. And if you get close enough to me now, if you get close, good try, pitch was wrong. If you're going to mock me properly. But if you do mock me, good luck on Judgment Day. Also, watch out for the she-bears. I'm not officially a prophet, but we don't know. It's a day of prophecy, so we're not sure. Deep Bible jokes. If you get close enough to me now, you can still see the scar. Please don't, though. COVID's still out there. You never know when it's going to come back. It's just lurking behind every lamppost. See, the thing about the anointing is that it's real similar to that story in every single way. No, not at all. It is similar in the way that when you are met by the anointing, you're marked forever. When you're met with the anointing, something has to change about you, not just internally, but externally. The anointing is not just some made-up thing that makes us feel real good. The anointing is deeper. I have a slide. No, I didn't make it. They may have made a slide, but let me tell you what I wrote down here. The anointing is a physical marker, both internally and externally, that God's hand is on my life, that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm set apart for Him. That's the anointing. Here's the good news. The anointing was required to have a bloodshed moment. So the good news tonight is we're going to get you to walk into lampposts so you can receive an anointing. No, my friend. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, because it was His blood that was shed for us, the Bible says that the veil was torn and that we have access to a greater anointing because of the nails that pierced His hands and feet. Oh, my friend, I got to tell you tonight, because of the blood that's already shed for you, you already have access to the anointing. But God wants to give you not some of the oil, He wants to give you all of the oil. For those waiting for my message title, there it is, 46 minutes into the message. All the oil. God's not interested in giving you some of it. He's interested in giving you all of it. And too many Christians are rolling around being like, I've got the anointing, but nothing is different about you. I'm anointed, yet your life hasn't changed. No, what you have is a good vibe and a soulish response to a spiritual power. Ouchie. So let me puff you back up. Here's some good things the anointing does. The anointing gives us wisdom. That's how I know many of us don't have the anointing. What's all my pride? What made me cry? Harry Slade. The anointing gives us vision, dreams. It activates gifts. It helps us heal the sick. The anointing gives us freedom. It breaks the yoke. It breaks what holds back every Christian. I believe with all of my heart, everybody who calls upon the name of God needs the anointing in their life. Everybody needs the infilling and the touch of the Holy Spirit. So naturally, we should ask ourselves the question, how do we receive something that epic? Well, write this down. The way we receive the anointing is through an encounter with God that leaves you changed by the power of the Holy Spirit every time.
So many times in Scripture we see anointing moments, heaps of times, heaps as times. You can read them in your own times. My favorite story of the anointing, though, is David. David, the little ruddy boy, out with the sheep. Meh. That's what they sound like. He's out in the sheep, and God's looking for a new king. We know this story well. Samuel, the prophet, rolls up to a guy named Jesse's house. He's like, bring out your sons, it is time. Jesse is like, wow, it's time, boys, go. And they stand in single file. And Samuel goes up and down the line. Surely it's that one. He's tall, like Pastor Matt. And God says, no, it's not that one. Awkward. About to anoint him. Skirt. No, okay, not that guy. Next brother. It's got to be that one. He's got the rugged good looks of Pastor Harry. Wow. Definitely not. Awkward. The next son. Well, this one's easy. He's holding a copy of Nicky Dent's book. Almost, not quite. He goes down the line. Not one son present was worthy of the anointing. Awkward. One of us is going to be anointed. None of us is going to be anointed. You know what makes it worse? The brother they despised and rejected. Hey, Jesse.
Yes, my lord.
Sure. It's a game of Catan.
Do you have wheat for my ore? The kingdom of Jesse does not trade with filth like you. Back to the hole you came.
Sorry. Apologies. Jesse, do you have any more sons? I'm only on page 2. I've got 20 pages. I've got to speed up. That's kidding. I've got 19. One of them's blank for prophetic unction. You know what's funny is that's super true. And it's currently blank. I started so much stronger. I'm getting lost in the middle. Tomorrow, all three services, I'm going to be so tight. It's going to be very good. Do you have any more sons? I've got one more I despise. He's out in the field. Get him. By the way, no one sits down till he comes back. Cool. David. He's 12. That's our 12-year-old's run, and I'm not even sorry about it. That was genuine sweat. Comes in. Sam, no way, God, not this one. That's the one I want. Why? Because man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Friend, can I tell you, that's why? It's not about how long we clench our face for before we receive the anointing. That's why it's not about if you fall over or not for you to receive the anointing. It's not about how many times you scream in successive services to get the anointing. No, it's not about the outward. The outward is the external reflection of the inward thing God is doing. God meets you on the inside. He cares about your heart inclination to Him, not about the outward performance. Bro, don't get me wrong, I'm all about falling over. You saw me, I was down there for like 46 minutes last night. And I was wearing a cropped top. And there was no modesty blanket. We got to work on that, Pastor Shannon. I was exposed. I felt vulnerable in front of the children. I got to go so much faster. God wants your heart. And if He gets your heart, you get the anointing. You know what's really cool? The Bible says Samuel had a horn of oil. A horn of oil. He brings the whole thing of oil, and he doesn't just dab David, he gives him all of the oil. I'm here to tell you tonight, God's about to pour out all the oil over you. It's God's desire for every Christian, every son and daughter to be anointed too. The problem is in the Old Testament, I love what Pastor Matt said, I think at some point this weekend, either just to me or to all of us on the other night, I can't remember when he said it, but I did hear him say something and I forgot what I was going to say that he said, but it was really good. What I wrote down was, nothing about Pastor Matt, it was really good what you said, I've really enjoyed my time here. I genuinely wanted to remember. The thing, oh yeah, that's it. I know it's gone, I can't remember. Dang it. He said, if you view the Holy Spirit only with the Old Testament lens, then you're not going to understand how the Holy Spirit works in the new covenant we're in. Jeez, I remembered. It's never as good refried, but it's still, leftovers are still quite yummy, you know? So in the Old Testament, you could only be anointed if you're about to be a king. So how does the anointing work now? Because as far as I'm aware, God save our gracious Charles. There's one king. On the earth, his name for us in Australia is King Charles. And as much as my wife would like him to pass on so we could get one back in, that would be better. She really liked Queen Elizabeth. Lest we forget. Like, how do we receive the anointing if it's only for one person at a time? How do we receive? That's the point. That's what I was trying to say. Nikki, pull it in. I understand. I am who I am. What first? One First Peter. One of the First Peters, chapter 2, verse 9. Look at this. This is how it works. But you are not like that, for you are chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others into the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Listen, friend, the moment you receive Jesus, your bloodline changes. The moment you receive Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the moment you step into relationship with him, we become adopted into his family. And what that means for you is that you are his chosen people. You are his royal priests. You are his royal nation, his holy nation, and his very own special possession. And with that gives us access to all the oil. Aren't you grateful for Jesus? All the oil gives us access to the anointing. And as Christians, we receive the anointing two ways. This is really important. I'm about to help a whole lot of people get set free. The two ways we receive the anointing, number one, write it down. Number one, it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit for your purpose. Geez, we talk a lot about purpose. One of the most Googled questions for many years in a row is, why am I here? It's the inward cry of a generation. What's my purpose? Can I tell you, everything on earth has a purpose. Everything, apart from giraffes. Think about it. Why? It's like on the day of the creating of the animals. God's there with the angels. G-O-D, G-O-D. Comes out, psh, fireworks. All right, angels, let's do Africa. The Australian ones yesterday, I understand. I was having a bit of a wild time, but let's pull it in. Let's nail Africa. All right, let's do this one. Let's do big gray body, head, heavy. Tank. Let's give it a sharp nose. What's it called, God? A rhino. All the angels. Wow. We know why we can't do your job. Next. Okay. Horses. They're good. Got an idea, though. Improvement. Racing stripes.
G-O-D, G-O-D.
Send. Next one. Horses. Horses. What if we did, not racing stripes, but a slight hexagonal checker pattern, but let's make them look more like splashes of water. And let's make the base white, but the other caramel.
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the cheering, dust particles start to fall down, and God's doing the body. And hits his nose, and as he gets to the neck, achoo! Oh, long neck. Oh, the whole of heaven erupts! Ah! What's it called? A giraffe. Bless you, God. Send! Everything on earth has a purpose but giraffes. Write it down. Can I tell you what your purpose is? Genuinely write this down. Your purpose is internal. Your purpose is internal. It's the reason that we've been created. I'm about to tell you what your purpose is. Are you ready? Your purpose, dun, 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 is to love and glorify God. And that's it. That's our purpose. Ecclesiastes 12:13. And that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. It's our duty to fear God and obey his commands. It's our purpose. It's the literal reason we exist. What do you mean, fear God? Is he hiding behind the lamppost with COVID? Are you going to get me? Ah! No, to fear God is not to be afraid of him. To fear God, it means to have a sense of awe, reverence, submission, and worship. Not just at Nations on a Friday, but in the detention classroom you're attending because you misbehaved and fully deserve it. In the middle of your rejection, do you fear the Lord? Just before you look at that pornography, are you fearing the Lord? No, you need to fear the Lord. This is our duty. It's our purpose to worship him and glorify him as our King of Kings. And we're anointed for our purpose. How? Through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We read it at the start of our message tonight, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave him this ability. It's the infilling of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that empowers us for our purpose. That's the first way. That's the first way. The first way we receive the anointing is the infilling. But the second way, and this is even as important as the first one, which is why it's in the message, is the touch of the Holy Spirit. The touch of the Holy Spirit is for our assignment. Now here's the problem. The Bible is a book, a manual for Christians. So when Solomon puts pen to paper and he says, this is my final command, he's not giving that to a world who doesn't know Jesus yet. So the problem is the world that doesn't know Jesus doesn't have an internal purpose. So the world that doesn't know Jesus makes their purpose their assignment. That's why one of the most asked questions you're going to get asked as a teenager is, what do you want to do when you leave school? Because the world hyperfixates on assignment and makes that your purpose, but it's not. It's the other way around. It's from your infilled purpose that you have outward assignment. That means that what you do or do not do is not you. It means that God's less interested in what you do do for him, what you do do for him, as much as you are with him. I love this idea that actually it's from the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we then get assignment and we go out on those assignments. And that might be through your job that you have, part-time job, your school, the team you serve on, the sports team that you're a part of, your family. Listen to me, God gives and anoints us for assignments and no assignment is the same. I love what Jesus said in John 17:3-4. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to go to the cross. Look at what he says. Now this eternal life that they know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Yeah. That word sent right there, sent, bottom of the third thing, sent, is a word in the Greek called apostello. And it means to order one to go to a place appointed. Jesus was on assignment because of his authority as a son of God. He was evidently aware of what his assignment was. It was to go to that cross and redeem mankind. That was his assignment. But his purpose was to bring glory on earth, not just by going to the place appointed, but by finishing the work that God gave him to do. It's not enough just to start something. How many moves of God have failed because what was start was never finished, but abandoned for the next thing to start? Imagine what the world would genuinely look like if we actually just did the thing God asked us to do. Like if we actually just prayed for that person. Anyway, you're anointed and you're appointed. And even if you're not, it's a faith statement because you're about to be. And it's to finish the work, the assignment that God has for you. How do we do that? It's by the anointing that comes upon you. The anointing that comes upon you. It's happened in the book of Acts 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Then what looked like tongues, flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. See, the Holy Spirit didn't just fill the people in the upper room, but the Holy Spirit rested upon them. Tonight I'm praying for two things, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that you would receive a touch from the Holy Spirit, that you'd be marked so that as you leave this room, you're never the same. And to help me illustrate this point, I suppose, I've brought from the original Greek a King David. Ladies and gentlemen, can we put our hands together for the randomly selected King David tonight? I don't know where he's coming from. Here he is right now. Come on, somebody. Ruddy King David from the field. I was standing waiting for him to appear. Grab a seat. I'm glad they got you the big pull. Not you. You're wearing a Fear of God t-shirt. Don't worry, King David, actual King David, an illegal name in this country, but that's all right. You know, like in church services, when we do like anointing services, you might not have seen this before, but we tickle your forehead with a bit of oil. It's not for budgetary reasons on the oil. It's more we don't want to ruin the carpet. You know what I mean? Like we want to keep the carpet nice. We'll keep the budget down. But Bible times, they didn't care about the carpet. They didn't even have that. They gave not a little bit of the oil, but all of the oil. They poured out all of the oil. Like all of it. Now the thing is that David, listen, was anointed three times. The first time he was anointed was in private. It was around his family. We've talked about that at length already. David is anointed in his dad's house in front of his family. But he's anointed to be king and ends up back in the field. Listen to me, the anointing here was for identity. God anointed him and said, you're chosen before you're seen. Some of us have to settle the fact that we're going to receive the anointing tonight and be chosen before we're seen. Listen, you can only really have and live in your identity when you have the anointing. And so tonight, for some of us, this might be the first time that we're anointed. Just sit there. Is it the other side? I'll go the other side. Violin. Now, a horn was not a small thing. A horn was relatively big. It could hold about a liter to 2 liters at a time. And so here's the thing I need you to understand is that when you receive the anointing, God doesn't tickle your forehead to make you feel good. He gets the oil. The safety glasses really won't do anything for you, but I appreciate the effort. No, you look good. He said, should I take them off? No, I think it's going to make him go quicker, you know? Okay, so, see, here's the thing I need you to know. When you come to the altar or when you go to your bedroom and you ask God to pour out the oil, God doesn't give you a little bit. God is the God of
more than enough. God is the God who pours out his oil till overflowing, and he covers us from head to toe, and he anoints us day after day after day, and he makes sure that we go out different from the way we came in. See, when you receive the anointing, something should change about you. You should look different. As in, you shouldn't be able to look at all. You know, like you can't see. I told him, you should have got goggles. But David was anointed another time. Second time David was anointed. You're doing good. Just sit really still. See, years later, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, David is anointed over Judah. We see that after battles, caves, betrayal, and waiting, David is anointed as king over Judah. This anointing, listen to me, was for responsibility. See, God anoints him saying, son, I trust you with a region, people, and leadership before I give you a full release. See, tonight, I need you to understand that if you want a greater responsibility for the kingdom, you need all of the oil of the kingdom. Some of us are like, I'm ready to lead now. I'm ready to preach now. But you've not been anointed for that, and you can't steward the first anointing. No, you need to steward the anointings as you receive them. But here's a good thing. Here's the cool thing, David. God is the God of all the oil. So when God anoints us a second time, he doesn't hold back and give us a little dab. No, he pours out all the oil from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Here, your feet are not oily yet. Let me give you some of those. Yeah, safe place, not anymore. He pours out all of the oil. Our God is not a God who runs dry, but he gives us all the oil. But David's anointed for a third time. Maybe we should get the band up. We've got to stop for that. I think your job as a camera woman is to. I like the laugh though. Are you having a good time?
I am having a great time.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, she is.
You don't get to wipe away the oil. That's ridiculous.
What is this?
No. Yes, says the Lord. Band, quickly come. Band, quickly come. Nikki Dent on the drums, ladies and gentlemen.
I would if I had another hour. I've still got a bit of content to get through.
See, the third time he was anointed over all of Israel. He was anointed over all of, finally, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, 20 years after the first anointing. Now God's going to anoint me and now I will go. Yes, now you go on the journey of following Jesus and growing in that faith, growing in that anointing. But 20 years later, David receives his third anointing. And this anointing is one that is about authority and influence. See, my friend, you will never have true authority or spiritual influence unless you have the anointing. But here's the good news, violinist. Here's the good news. Don't play the violin. Touch that keyboard. God has more oil. And this is what I need you to know tonight, is that when God comes and anoints you, he never holds back, for his cup never runs dry. So you might be 20 years from now and be like, man, I remember that one time that weird white dude shouted at me for way too long about oil at the camp. But man, I think I need some of that. I think I need some of that to step into what God has for me. Here's the good news, my friend. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, God pours out all of the oil. All the oil, all the blessings, all the oil, all the blessings. No. Now, here's the thing. I'm getting heckled tonight. Hasn't happened for a while, but I do feel like I'm in kids' ministry. We'll play. I need a towel for me. Is that what you were saying? I'm very sweaty. David had to wait for a prophet to bring the oil. So he could only be anointed three times as God commanded it. Look at me. We don't have to wait anymore. Because when Jesus died, look at me. When Jesus died, no. You're doing great. I did get a bit on my hand, so I'm just going to wipe it off, though, because it's very oily. Look, when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit was reserved for only those who were spotless and blameless. Even the priests who tried to get in there, if they did not be spotless and blameless, would die. But when Jesus died for you, it took away the sin of the world, and the veil was torn, much like our wonderful curtains here. From the top to the bottom, it tore in two. And we could see what the lyrics to the song was clearly after that. It's a miracle. But here's what some of us think. Here's what some of us think. Some of us think that now the curtain has been torn, we have partial access. So I tiptoe awkwardly to the presence of God, and I look for him where he's no longer. He's no longer in the tabernacle. He's not in a building or a place. He's not waiting at a destination. No, my friend, we don't live timid before the veil. We live dwelling beyond it. Do you know what's cool about that? Is it means right now, as a teenager, you can receive the anointing. That means tonight, no matter what your story has been, as long as Jesus is your Lord, as long as you're in love with Jesus and following him, the good news is, friend, here at this camp, God's got more oil. So I need you to know that God has more for you right here, right now. Oh, no, Harry, I received last night. No, Harry, I received the night before. Shut up. God's got more oil. You of little faith. Oh, do you think that you clocked it, do you? Do you think you clocked Christianity? Shut up. God's got more oil. So when you come to the altar tonight, you better come with faith and expectation that God's going to pour out the oil and anoint you from your shoulders, down your back, or even your legs. Great calf muscles. He's going to anoint those too, because our God has all the oil. Our God has all the oil, but you know what it means? Do you know what it means when you graduate high school and you go to university? Do you know what it means? It means that when you're struggling for grades, it means that when the world is trying to pull you towards itself and the devil reconstructed a new mirror in your life, you can fall on your knees at your university hostel. You don't need me. You don't need the band. You don't need a giant LED cross. You need Jesus on the inside of you. And when you get Jesus on the inside of you, you can fall to your knees, cry out to God, and ask him for more oil. Why? Because our God has got more oil. Oh God, I'm struggling with my grades. I need oil. Good. Oh God, I'm struggling. I'm trying to find a wife. It's now an appropriate time to do so. God, I need the oil. And the good news is, he meets you where you're at. Well done, my son, I'm here, says the Lord God Almighty. And he pours out the oil from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and he fills you and fills you and fills you, because our God is the God of all the oil. Oh, do you know what else it means? It means one day at an appropriate age when you do get married, and you're standing at the end of the altar and you're like, geez, did I make the right decision? It's not quite too late, but it very much is, because your dad's walking you down the aisle and I'm stressed. How do I know what my future will look like as a husband? How do I know how to lead a family? I've never done that before. My dad didn't do a great job. What if I fail too? God, I need you. And when you're in need of the oil, you can reach out your hands. You can open your heart and you can ask the God whose oil never runs dry, whose oil never runs out. And you can ask him. You can ask him. You can ask him. And even if you want to wipe it away from your eyes, you can ask him and he'll pour out the oil and he'll anoint you as a leader, as a husband, as a wife, as a dad, as a mother. Oh, but I never had the good example. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I never had
the good example. I never had the good example. It doesn't matter. You've got a Heavenly Father who's spotless and blameless and perfect without blemish. He's got the oil. What it means is that when you sit in that doctor's appointment and when the doctor says you can't have kids, when they say you can't have kids, you might as well give up on that dream. You look at the doctor in the eye and you say, ah, God bless, brother. But I'm in love with a physician whose oil never runs dry. Last I checked, he's the one that knit me together in my mother's womb, not you. Last I checked, if the oil is enough to break the yoke, if the oil is enough to stand in front of Lazarus and say, get up, the oil is enough for whatever your sickness is, for whatever your broken body is, for whatever the doctor said that it cannot happen. I'm here to tell you that we serve a God who's got more oil. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. So when you're in need, you don't wait for church on Sunday. You don't wait for youth on Friday, because the youth event, listen, is just the exclamation mark at the end of a sentence of service. You get to that service and you throw up your hands and you praise Him again and again. You throw up your hands. We make praise holy by not being more reverent to the Lord. No, we make praise holy by getting out of our own way, by putting down the baggage of the bad news, by putting down the rejection of man, by taking hold of the hem of His garment and receiving the oil. So tonight, I wonder if there's a generation who wants to step beyond the veil, dwell beyond the veil, if there's a generation who's crying out for more. It's a lot of breathing. He's got more oil. And He's not violent. He's not angry. He's gentle. He loves you. And He pours out so that you would know that no lie of the enemy, that no action from hell can ever stand against, because I've got the anointing and I'm leaving different. I am different. I am different. I'm not the same as I was yesterday because I have the oil. I'm not the same. I'm not what the doctor said. I'm not what the bully said. I'm not what my parents cursed me. I'm none of that. No, I speak a better word. I hold on to the mirror of the Word of God. Stand to your feet from the front to the back. I hold on to His Word and I live in the authority of heaven, because my God is the God with all the oil. And with all the oil comes all the benefits. The oil of joy, peace, love. Let me say the first one, joy. Joy. Life's too blessed to be stressed. You're 12, bruh. And I get it. You've never been 12 before. I've never been 32 before. 12 was sick. It was awesome. I don't want to trivialize. I don't want to trivialize your situation. I just am tired of seeing a generation respond to a solely spirit, not a holy one. I'm tired of a generation thinking they are what they're not because they have the religious hoops to jump through. Because we've made an aesthetic. We've replaced the authentic with an aesthetic and called that authentic. There is no one way apart from the one way. Jesus. Jesus. He doesn't care about your methodology. He doesn't care about your religious hoops you think you must and must not do. There is not one way to enter the throne apart from thanksgiving. Wow. And praise. Wow. Joy. Gratitude. On this last night of this camp, God's desire is if you ask Him,
to give you all the oil. How are you feeling?
Oily.
Good, good. Good, did work. The analogy worked. Are you different now from when you first sat down?
Yes.
Do you think you'll remember this for the rest of your life?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it wasn't that good. I'm covered in oil and you took the towel away twice. I'm actually offended. Be on the altar. It's going to be fine. It's a great experience is what he just said. Because I pressured him to do so. I think we need some men of God to try and help him get out of this without breaking legs or backs. So let's all stand and watch. And awkwardly see if, yeah, you guys can, all women of God, either way, but just slowly, please, very slowly. Oh, he weed himself. Watch. What's happening? He got anointed and he couldn't leave alone. He couldn't leave alone. You can't steward what God has for you on your own. It's dangerous when one young person thinks that they are the final authority. It's dangerous, listen, when leaders do not submit to their senior pastors. It's dangerous when we start to think, I know better because I got a brain. I know better because I received an anointing. No, I'm under the authority of the one that God put over the authority of me. And I'm submitted to what God wants to do because I can't do this alone. And neither can you. That's why you need a brother in Christ. 14 to 18, listen to me. Your best friend should not be the opposite gender. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, not marshmallows sharpens iron. Listen to me. The two things are two very different things. It's not that one is strong and one is weak, because there's a lot of men who are marshmallows. It's about the fact that the two don't mix. So when we lie to ourselves and we hope that we can just be the exception to the rule, we end up swimming in the wrong pools. We end up being in the wrong bedrooms. We end up with the wrong clothes off. How did I get here? Because you were foolish. You thought you were strong enough. You're not. What if you were as intense about your purity as you are on this altar? Hey, listen to me. We're running out of time. Don't you dare squander what God's given you. Don't you dare throw away what is precious in His sight. He's got all the oil. And tonight, He wants to give without measure. Let me say one more thing. Everyone standing. Ever taken a drink before?
No.
You're dehydrated. That's why you've got a headache. Just drink more water. That's what I say to my wife all the time. Drinking's awesome. Water. Drinking water's awesome. How do you drink water? Let me show you. Three easy steps. Number one, you open it.
I'm good. I'm a professional.
I've done my own stunts before. Number one, you open it. That's why you open up your body. You open up your hands. You stretch them high to heaven. If you only half open by looking to just receive, not adore and worship the King, you're just going to make a mess. Then what do? You receive. Turns out I was thirsty. And that's the problem with us. We wait for the next summer camp to drink. The veil's not just torn here, it's torn in your bedroom. I said the veil's not just torn here, the veil's torn in your bedroom.
The veil's torn in your lounge room. It's in your classroom. Just drink. And the third step is you just let whatever the water wants to do, do it. I can't control what happens to the water when it goes in me. It's just in me. The problem is so many of us are here and we're like stress opening the bottle. Ah! Oh no, I might miss out. Bro, slow your roll. Just open it up. I don't understand. Well, that's not going to help you. Chill out, bro. You ever tried to stress drink before? It goes everywhere but its intended destination. That's why the person on your left and on your right's receiving, but you're not. Because you're so stressed about the anointing, you're so stressed about receiving, that you're just getting the splashback of someone else's receiving. Hey! God doesn't want to give you someone else's sloppy seconds. The Bible says in the book of Acts, that tongues of fire settle on each of them. God's got something for you, but just relax and receive. Just open up and drink. Let it get in you. Let it get on you. The final thing I want to say is this. Listen, I want to teach you how to receive because it's super important, because I know there are some of us who are here for the first time and have never been exposed to an environment like this. It's not about if you fall. But if you do, we have someone to catch you. And if we don't, I'll pray for a healing. It'll either work or not. Luckily, there's a hospital 9 minutes away. It'll be fine. And we have a doctor here. He does chests, but I'm sure he can do skulls. Basically the same. It's not about falling, but if you're going to fall, fall. Look at me, every eye. Stop talking to your friends. Listen, please, the anointing's here. I got to steward this well. It's not about crying. Bro, if you're going to cry, cry. It's not about rolling on the floor, weeping and gnashing your teeth. The Bible says that's what happens to those who don't know God. Too many of us are used to falling into soulish behavior for a spiritual reception. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying there's not like a game system in heaven for me where I get more points if more people fall over when I pray for them. But if there is that system, I could be winning. I'm not sure. And it's not about that, Pastor Gareth, but if it is, well, turns out I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like crazy. Listen, he's inviting you to receive everything that you need.